Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
Program is Lyrics and Legends. In the studio with me, I got Debbie Finsterwald. And Debbie, this just gets better every time we do it. We've got a true Texas legend that's going to be visiting with us tonight.
We do. We have none other than Gary P. Nunn with us tonight. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have looked forward to this. I'm excited about this. And I'm telling you, true Texas legend right here.
That's right. So, hey, let's just cut the stuff here and just get in and
excellent.
I'll let you.
So, Gary, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm doing great.
Where are you? Are you at home somewhere?
I'm at home right now. We do the weekend stuff for the most part. And so we're going to go out to Mason, Texas, and then to Green Hall down in New Braunfels.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we want to talk to you about the things that have inspired you and the things that took you on this journey that you've been on for many, many years, besides being so successful as a singer and songwriter. You've been given many, many awards, and we know that you are a beloved Texas country musician. And so just tell us a little bit about your life and the things that inspired you and how you got started.
Hey, I think he's from Oklahoma. Talk about...
Oh,
growing up.
I mean,
yes.
I'm telling you right now, then he moves right to the top of my list if he's from Oklahoma.
Well, like they say, we got to Texas quick as we could. And there's a song I'm going to do on my next record. It's called "I Wasn't Born in Texas." I got here as quick as I could.
Oh man, there you go.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Write a verse for me, would you? Because I'm the same way.
So where were you born?
Well, I was born in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, right there in the heart of the Creek Indian country, that part of the country. And my folks were school teachers, and I grew up on these tiny little school yards mostly in eastern Oklahoma in my early life. And we'd spend holidays and vacations and summers at my grandmother's house, and all the aunts and uncles lived around there. Both sides of the family were there. And so I spent, when I was about 9, 10 years old, I spent the summers baling hay for my uncles. And then when that second summer was over, we found out that we were going to move to Brownfield, Texas. And that was the happiest day of my life, I swear.
Were other people in your family musical? Did you grow up with your family playing and singing?
Well, my brothers and sisters were all musical. My mother and father, you know, they just encouraged us a lot. They didn't, you know, they didn't play or sing, but they encouraged us, gave us piano lessons when we were little kids. And always my dad, you know, after we moved out to Brownfield and I got to start playing in the band in eighth grade, and my dad would buy me every instrument that my heart desired, you know, within reason. Usually he'd just buy them and say, go in there in your bedroom and see what's in there. You know, it'd be a set of drums.
So how many musical instruments do you play?
Well, let's see. I play guitars, and then I've spent many years being a bass player.
Yeah.
And then I've always picked up, you know, back in the early days, I was a bass player back when I was playing with Michael Murphy and Jerry Jeff Walker, and then even before that in high school and the first few years in college there. And then I picked up the piano on my own.
Right.
You know, just playing by ear, and they started sliding me in there playing little keyboards, and so I learned how to play the piano a little bit, and so there's, you know, a mandolin, a little fiddle, and
wow,
and drums. I started out on the drums. Actually, my first gig was a drummer. It didn't last very long. but the fellow that ran the band there, you know, he said, we need a bass player, and you're going to be the bass player. So his dad went and bought a brand new bass. This was in 1960. I wish I had that bass now. It'd be worth a lot of money.
Yes, it would.
So
were you in Lubbock or Brownfield then?
Well, out there in Brownfield High School, you know, we played for teen dances and around in teen clubs and stuff all during high school. And I just did it mostly just to, you know, have some spending money to do it. I never really considered, having a career in the business. So.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I didn't really know.
And he hadn't grown up.
No, it's right. He's still looking for it.
I'm still looking for it. In the meantime, I'm keeping this gig I have.
I think that that's a wise choice. I think you'll be just fine if you stick with that. I know that probably when you were out there in Brownfield, you were a pretty good athlete, I hear, too.
Yes, I did. I love playing sports. And, I started out in Oklahoma playing baseball and basketball when I was just a first grader. So by the time I got to Brownfield, I was a pretty good little dribbler and drive and shoot and make a basket. And so they put me in when I moved there in the sixth grade, they put me on the seventh grade team. So
heck yeah.
It helped me. So, I was about 5 years ahead of those guys. But they caught up mighty fast, I tell you what.
Yeah, because there's nothing else to do in Oklahoma but play basketball.
Yeah, Debbie had a little background.
Believe me, I know that. But we all love sports, too. So, that's how the world goes around here in the Panhandle.
Right.
So,
hey, so we want to go get a song here because, we got to do this ever so often because I got to hear your music. But the first one we want to talk about is the Gary P. Nunn song, London Homesick Blues. So talk a little bit about the inspiration behind that.
Right. Well, that was in March of 1973, and I'd been working with Michael Murphy. We made a couple records, Geronimo's Cadillac and the Cosmic Cowboy record. We had under our belts, and his record company wanted him to go to England. They got him a deal with EMI, so Michael invited me to go over there with him. And his wife was British. Diana was Brian Epstein's original secretary, which is an interesting side story there. We went to her parents' place and stayed for about a week up in the Midlands, and then we went into London there, and Michael was always busy doing a lot of things, so I found myself spending days on end in this flat there that they had provided for me. Actually, it was a very upscale flat, and I found out later that the Beatles had actually lived in this apartment complex there. So I had all these days, and then he goes off at 6 in the morning, comes on 6 in the evening, and it was rather cool in there, and I was spending days on end, and I didn't have any money, and my dad was having some heart problems, and I was worried about him. And so during that time there, I had a guitar in my hand, and I looked out the window and said, well, it's cold over here, and I swear, I wish it turned the heat on. And at that point, it got me started, and I started just trying to mix. It was an exercise, actually, in writing a song. I never thought anything would ever come of it. But I started mixing, the whole damn lot, and them Limey Eyes, Ryan the Prize, go down
awesome.
To Marble Arch Station. And
I will tell you that growing up in the Texas Panhandle and listening to that song in my high school days, that was kind of an anthem for us.
Totally an anthem.
So it's just been,
But you truly were homesick. And
I was, and I was truly broke, and I was cold and lonesome. And, so all the good things that make for a good country song, I guess.
Well, a good country song is hardly covering it. But, we were talking about, too, that it was the theme song for Austin City Limits for like 2 decades, and we don't know what they've gone to now, but we don't like it.
We're going to listen to the song. We'll come
back.
The
original Austin City Limits theme song.
Absolutely. Listen to London Homesick Blues. Gary P. Nunn will be back in just a few minutes.
Well, when you're down on your luck and you ain't got a buck, London, you're a goner. Even London Bridge has fallen down and moved to Arizona now. And I'll substantiate the rumor that the English sense of humor is drier than the Texas sand. You can put up your deuce, or you can bet your boots, I'm leaving just as fast as I can. I wanna go home with the Armageddon. Get country music from Amarillo and Abilene. The friendliest people and the prettiest women you've ever. Well, it's cold over here in London. Dadgummit, I swear I wish they would turn the heat on. And where in the world is that English girl? I promise that I would meet on the third floor. And up the whole damn lot, the only friend I've got is a smoke and a cheap guitar. My mind keeps roaming, and my heart keeps longing to be home in a Texas bar. Decided that I'd get my cowboy hat, go down to Marble Arch Station. It's when a Texan fancies he'll take his chances. You know chances will be taken, that's for sure. And them limey eyes, they were eyeing the prize. Some people call they said you're from down south, and when you open your mouth, you always seem to put your foot there.
Debbie, we've got a good one going on, Lyrics and Legends. I've got Debbie Finsterwald in with me, and on the phone from his home is Gary P. Nunn, and this is just too much fun, Debbie.
And we just listened to London Homesick Blues, which is completely the anthem of every kid in the Texas Panhandle
from the 70s,
I'm telling you. And I was just across the line in Eric, and it was still a theme song over there. So, you know, I mean, this is such an honor, Gary. We're so excited to get to visit with you. And we were talking before about you'd made your way to Brownfield with your parents and then on to school at South Plains and Lubbock. Tell us a little bit about your college experience.
Well, I was actually, you know, when I was a kid, of course, my folks, school teachers, and that required that I make straight A's or I was in trouble. So I did pretty well in math and sciences, and my counselors, you know, wanted me to go into medicine. But I get kind of squeamish when I see people in pain or sick, so I chose pharmacy. So I went and I studied pre-pharmacy there at Tech and then at South Plains. And then all the time I was playing with a band called the Sparkles, and they were a big rock and roll band and the most popular band in West Texas. And we were traveling every weekend and going all around, but they decided they wanted to go to California to try to make big time. And I knew that if I did, you know, I'd probably be drafted. And that comes later in the story, but they went to California, and then that's when I transferred to Texas and entered this cool little pharmacy there. And of course, the first thing I did was find me a band to play with.
Well, sure.
And got involved in the Austin music scene, which is just incredible back in those days.
I can only imagine.
So
I mean,
in Austin, you met up with Michael Murphy and Jerry Jeff.
Yes, Michael came to town, and I went there in 67. And then I'd actually spent one semester. I did go to California and spend one semester with the guys in the Sparkles. So I had my L.A. Hollywood experience in there.
And you got out of there as quick as you could?
I did get my draft notice, so I hustled back and went to school and played with a real popular band here in town called the Lavender Hill Express. Rusty Weir was the leader of that band and the lead singer. Worked with him a couple of years, and then that broke up. And then a few more bands came along. And then early January, actually the first week in January 1973, Michael Murphy came to town. Actually, it was 72. And he just made that record. He'd been down in Nashville doing some initial cuts for that record that became Geronimo's Cadillac, which was, you know, it was the first of this genre that we call Texas music.
Right.
To come out, Michael was the first one to have a record. And then Jerry Jeff followed him in here not too long after, about 6 months after Michael got here. Jerry Jeff showed up in town, and he collared us, and he wanted to make a record with him. So our band went in the studio. Of course, we had also joining us Mickey Rayfield, you know, who was Willie's harmonica player.
Yes.
And so we went and made that record that is self-titled Jerry Jeff Walker album. It had L.A. Freeway on it. So,
can I ask you, how's Jerry Jeff's health? Have you visited with him?
Well, we were together for his birthday party. Bless his heart, you know, he's been through two throat cancer surgeries. And, you know, it took a lot out of him. But bless his heart, he just got all the spirit in the world, and it hasn't diminished him from the way he always was. And he got up and did a great show and had a packed house, but yeah, it did set him back a great deal. But he's carrying on, you know. He did a big show with Cody Johnson, you know, in Houston, one of those big shows,
right,
just a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, he's not giving up.
That's
so
awesome.
Bless his heart. So we pray for him, you know, that he'll continue to be able to.
It took me about three tries to get to see Jerry Jeff when I was growing up, because, you know.
Was that on you or on Jerry Jeff? Which
little,
was it?
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
One time I ended up in jail, but that's another
story. That's a whole
other
story. Well, tell us about, that's what I like about Texas. Let's talk about Texas a little bit.
Okay. Well, that song came about, let me see, that was in the, you know, the early 80s there, probably about 82 or 3 or something like that. I had gone through the Jerry Jeff and the Michael experience and the Los Gonzo
Band,
you know, which was our band up until 1979. And then we had a parting of the ways, so we just couldn't agree on which direction we wanted to go. I wanted to stay with this Texas progressive country thing, and, you know, Bob and those guys, they wanted to go to India, you know, and get into the, you know, the religious aspect of that, kind of like the Beatles did, you know.
Right.
So I said, well, that, and we just weren't heading in the right direction, so I pulled away there and started my own band in 1980.
Right.
So, but I get a call one day, because we'd made an ad for Lone Star Beer back in, about 74, during the heyday of the Armadillo World Headquarters. We did a song called The Nights Never Get Lonely, for Lone Star Beer, and it became somewhat of a hit, and the guys at Armadillo, they got Freddie King to cut it, and the Pointer Sisters, and several other big acts that came through, and they get it to cut it for an ad. So Lone Star Beer guy, Jerry Retzloff, who's a PR guy, called me up, and he said, "GP, we need you to do another song for Lone Star Beer." And so I said, "Well, I'd love to do it. Let me just think about it and see what I can come up with." And I was going back and forth to Colorado at that time. we'd go up to Evergreen, Colorado and play, and we'd go up to La Vida, out there around Walsenburg and Trinidad, up in the Huerfano Mountains up there. And I was coming back one day, and coming through the Raton Pass and coming out of the pass, and I could visualize the plains. And I read a lot of Texas history, and I was familiar with the history and the geography of Texas. And I just kind of put myself in a bird's eye view looking at the whole Strait of Texas from that point of view. So I thought about it, and I went on down to my mother's house, and it was on Christmas Day, and I went in, sat down at the piano, and that song just came to me all in a gush. And it was for an ad for Lone Star Beer. And
that is so cool.
So we put out the ad, and the ad was so popular that they were getting requests for the ad for the radio. I mean, from the fans.
Now that's a good ad.
Yeah. That's a jingle and a half right there.
Yeah. So, you know, when I did that Austin City Limits show in 83, I included that on there. And it just took right off, and it's become one of the most popular things that I've ever done.
And that's because it speaks to everybody that knows and loves Texas. I mean, it's just it's a great song. So hear a little bit of it.
Yeah, we're going to take a listen to What I Like About Texas, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Gary P. Nunn.
You ask me what I like about Texas, I tell you it's the wide open spaces. It's everything between the Sabine and the Rio Grande. It's a Llano Estacado, it's the Brazos and the Colorado. It's the spirit of the people who share this land. It's another burrito, it's a cold Lone Star in my hand. It's a quarter for the Jukebox Boys, play the Sons of the Mother of the House Band. Well, you ask me what I like about Texas, it's a big timber and Nacogdoches, driving El Camino Real down to San Antonio. It's the river walking me tierras, jamming out with Bongo Joe. The stories of the Menger Hotel and the Alamo. You remember the Alamo? It's another burrito, it's a cold Lone Star in my hand. It's a quarter the Jukebox Boys, play the Sons of the Mother Loving Bunkhouse about Texas. It's blue bonnets and Indian paintbrushes. It's swimming in the sacred waters of Barton Springs. It's body surfing the Frio. It's Saturday night in Del Rio. It's crossing over the border for some cultural exchange. Yeah! It's another burrito. It's a cold Lone Star in my hand. It's a quarter for the Jukebox Boys, play the Sons of the Mother Loving Bunkhouse Band.
bunkhouse band. Well, you ask me what I like about Texas. Well, I could tell you, but we'd be here all night long.
Programs, lyrics, and legends out of the 50-some-odd programs we've done. Ray Wiley Hubbard was one. He talked about the influence that Michael Murphy was yes. on him. I think he was at a talent show that Michael Murphy was performing at and kind of sparked him. And then we've got Gary P. Nunn on today.
Gary P. Nunn.
It's just crazy.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
We are talking.
I had to pinch myself a little bit just to make sure it was.
Me too. Because this is quite a highlight. And Gary P., we just want you to know how much we appreciate this. And we were just talking about your song, What I Like About Texas. And we were just saying, people that have a love for Texas and live in Texas know about Texas that it's very interesting. I have a son-in-law that is from Australia, and he gives me a hard time saying, you know, that he has never seen such patriotism, but the U.S. patriotism only parallels to Texas patriotism. So
I'm like,
this is true, and we've got him won over, so we call him a Tex-Manian. He's actually from Tasmania, but anyway.
There you go.
Anyway, you were saying that, you know, you started out. You were with the Los Gonzo band for a long time, and then things kind of went, you know, you all had different directions that you wanted to go. And, you know, you're like this Texas country ambassador. You're like, when people think about Texas country music, you are right at the top of the list. So tell us what kind of guided you at that time when you split away from the Los Gonzo band and started doing your own thing. What, you know, what was that? What was your purpose and your direction that you wanted to achieve?
Well, you know, that was after I'd been through, you know, the years there, probably about 6 years total with Michael Murphy and then Jerry Jeff. And then Jerry Jeff got a little crazy, and I just had to pull off. I wrote a book, you know, called It Home with the Armadillo, and I talk about it in detail, how Jerry Jeff just got a little too far out there that, you know, you felt your physical, you know, health and
right.
security was at risk. So I pulled off, and that's when, you know, the Gonzo band pulled away from Jerry Jeff, and then we went through a three-record deal there with the Los Gonzo band. And it was, like I say, there was three of us and that kind of fronted the band, and there was no focus in the band and no real direction, so the record company didn't know what to do with us. So it finally just, like I say, we went our own ways.
Right.
And I went on my own in 1980. But going back, you know, the influences, you know, I was tremendously influenced by both Michael Murphy, especially, because he taught me about the songwriting.
Right.
And because he was a consummate songwriter, he'd just write two or three songs sometime before he got out of his room in the morning.
And, wow.
And then Jerry Jeff kind of learned from him about kind of the show business, because he was wild and crazy, but there was something about him that people just adored, you know, and the showmanship of it, and the fact that and he just showed me that people like to have fun. They don't like to, you know, listen to all these serious songs all the time.
You got to have a mix.
So,
can't be sad and sappy all the time. You got to have a little fun sometimes.
Absolutely. You know, of course, when we'd have do the fun songs, the crowd would just go absolutely nuts. So I learned from that. I learned a great deal from those guys about, you know, what people respond to. And then I tried to tailor my song writing. And I'm a publisher as well. I picked up a lot of great songs from other songwriters and helped many of them get started and
right.
that are very successful in the business now. So that I kind of committed myself to this Texas progressive country rock type of thing, because I figured that's where, of course, my love of Texas itself just lent itself to that.
I'm pretty glad he did that, aren't you, Gary?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
We're pretty glad you went that direction. So we were looking here at some of your songs, and one of those songs is Taking Texas to the Country. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, Taking Texas to the Country, I just had the idea, you know, I'm sitting here watching this Texas music thing spread out all over the country, and, you know, some of these younger guys, you know, they've taken taken it several steps further than even I have. You know, they're actually serious about this and becoming, you know, they want to become stars. And so they get real organized. And this thing is just, I had it, my mind was, you know, we're going to take Texas to Nashville. And then it occurred to me that actually this music is spreading all over the country.
Right.
And even to Europe and all over the world. So I just had this idea of taking Texas to the country, taking Texas to the world, and went there. I got with a songwriter that I collaborate with. His name is Levi Mullins, a great, great songwriter. And we started throwing it back and forth, and, you know, it didn't take a couple of throwbacks before we had it done. That one has become, they picked that one up for the Texas Bucket List.
Absolutely, we keep up with that.
So. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So let's listen to Taking Texas to the Country.
We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Taking Texas to the country. We're taking Texas to the world. We're having fun and making money. She's like a Willie and Merle. The party's busting out all over. We'll bring the shiner, Bach, and Pearl. We're taking Texas to the country. We're taking Texas to the world. Texan in the crowd. We're taking Texas to the country. We're taking Texas to the world. We're having fun and making money. She's like a Willie and Merle. The party's busting out all over. We'll bring the shiner, Bach, and Pearl. We're taking Texas to the country. We're taking Texas to the world. Look out now, here it comes.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. On the phone with Debbie and I today is Gary P. Nunn.
Gary P., several of your songs and your music, we have a song down here called Think I'll Go to Mexico. You can hear that sound, that almost Mexican type sound in several of your songs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I try to, you know, it's my opinion that, you know, instruments and arrangements, it's, say, for example, if you hear a Spanish guitar, then you kind of think of Mexico. If you hear marimbas or something like that, if you hear an accordion, you know, you either think of Europe or, you know, maybe a Mexican mariachi band, ranchero band, something like that. And so, you know, I always tried to color my music just with with the instruments that that's going to conjure up the images of where
you wanted us to
talking
go.
About.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Just to kind of create that image. But that song in particular, you know, I thought, to tell you the truth, my main influence on that one was, you know, my Beatles influence of that pounding guitar going bump, bump, bump.
Yeah.
And so I'd have to credit that for my influence from the Beatles going back as far as the arrangement went.
That's very cool. I would not have picked up on that the Beatles inspired Think I'll Go to Mexico, but let's listen to that song.
All right, we'll listen to
Think I'll Go to Mexico.
And we'll be back in just a few minutes with Gary P. Nunn.
Think I'll go to Mexico, Guatemala, I don't know. I just go as the wind blows, scattering seeds, gathering seeds, sowing a few wild oats. Think I'll go to Santa Fe, where the people are so tan and gay. C-A-D-H, Lawrence play, while women in love, they're all lined up and waiting for the band to play. Oh, I live my life at 55. I'm riding low, I'm flying right. Here I go. Think I'll go to Mexico, Guatemala, I don't know. I just go as the wind blows, scattering seeds, gathering seeds, sowing a few wild oats. Take it home with me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Think I'll go to Mexico.
Think I'll go to Mexico.
Guatemala, I don't know.
Guatemala, I don't know.
Think I'll go to Mexico.
Think I'll go to Mexico.
Guatemala, I don't know.
Guatemala, I don't know.
Think I'll go to Mexico.
Think I'll go.
Guatemala, I don't know.
Guatemala, I don't know.
I don't know, I just got to go.
Think I'll go to Mexico.
Debbie, we've got a good one going on, Lyrics and Legends. I've got Debbie Finsterwald in with me and Gary P. Nunn.
So did you listen to the Beatles growing up and all that? You definitely have some rock influence in your life, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It was all rock until Michael Murphy came to town, and he kind of put on a Hank Williams record, and I went, wow. You know, I just never had paid any attention to the countryside of it, and then when I did, you know, I became fascinated by it. First of all, you know, how it's really simple music, but it's not easy. It's not easy to do, you know, to play simply.
Yeah, to do well.
Yeah, and so I started kind of studying that genre and, you know, got interested in the fiddles and the steel guitars and just two-stepping music. I was trying to create music, because down this part of the country, you know, if you don't play two-stepping music, you don't get gigs, you know.
Yeah, because people want to dance.
They do. And that's a kind of, you know, growing up, we always played for dances, and it was always kind of my role. It was my job to play dance music for the kids to dance to.
Right.
So I always kind of stuck with that, and it's worked well for me.
So when you were growing up, or when you had gone down to the Austin area and met up with Michael Murphy and those guys, there was kind of, the way I remember things, there was kind of a big division over, like, the country and the rock and everything, and then that scene down there in Austin is kind of what brought those groups together, isn't it?
It really was. You know, we had started out, they were using us as booking us, both Jerry Jeff and Michael, and, you know, the same band played with both of them. And there was any hints of country music at the Armadillo, and we started drawing these crowds, and we were wearing hats and cowboy boots, and a lot of our fans would too. The clincher was, you know, when Willie came to town. And I had the opportunity to play with Willie on one of his first shows, the first big show he had that kind of kicked him off. And Rolling Stone was there. Chet Flippo was there to write about it. And he was writing about it in Rolling Stone. And it just kind of took off from there because, you know, here was Willie with this hardcore country Nashville background, you know, selling out. And it drew the country music fans. And all of a sudden, these country music fans found themselves standing around with a bunch of hippies, you know. And they were getting along. So that was kind of the little get-together that sparked this, you know, the kind of easing of the tensions, you know, because the music, because people love country music, could go and hang out with hippies, and they would all get along.
So is that why you use the phrase Texas progressive? I mean, because it is such a, I mean, when you try to tell people and put people in a box, it's kind of hard to put some of you guys in a box because you're many things.
Right. You know, the folk music, singer-songwriter music, and rock and country rock, and then it gets to hard rock sometimes.
Right.
That progressive country moniker was one that the press labeled it. They were trying to find something to call it. And I guess we were progressing in a way, you know, extending the boundaries of country music for sure.
Well, tell us about the song Friends for Life. What's that all about?
Friends for Life was a song. It came to me that these songwriters, I ended up having a little hand in writing it, and I did publish the song, but it's become one of the most popular songs that I do as well. It's a kind of a little cowboy song. It tells a story about these kids that you know, he said, we rode a lot of horses, and of course that's stick horses, you know. chased a few dragons away, make believe, you know, with the games we played, and then says we grew our hair to our shoulders searching for identity, and finally came to a crossroads in 1973. After all said and done, you know, they're friends, good friends for life.
Yeah, still
so
that
it's
connection.
It's got a good message to it, and people, you know, they stand in front of the stage and sway back and forth and put their arms around each other. So that's become one of my favorite songs, and that's why I included it on that list.
That's awesome, because you know that here in the Panhandle and where we live here in Wheeler County, you know, we're very, very small, and those are the things that speak to people who live in very rural parts of, you know, the U.S., not just in Texas. So let's listen to Friends for Life.
We'll be back in just a few minutes.
We rode a lot of horses, chased a few dragons away. Make-believe was reality in the games we used to play. We grew our hair to our shoulders, searching for identity. Finally came to a crossroads back in 1973. But we're still friends, good friends, friends for life. Anything you need, don't think twice. My, oh my, how those years go by. Friends, good friends, friends for life. fell in love in Alaska, settled down in Tahlequah. You met a sweet thing in Eureka Springs and made a home in Arkansas.
I took a job in a factory, steady money calling me. You were a dreamer, more willing than able to face reality.
But we're still friends,
good friends, friends for life.
Anything you need, don't think twice.
My, oh my, how those years go by. Friends, good friends, friends for life.
Hard times closed the factory, left us all out in the cold. But you were there to help me bear my life's heavy load. I thought that it was all over when love walked out the door. If it hadn't have been for you, old friend, I'd have died back in 84. But we're still friends,
good friends, friends for life.
Anything you need, don't think twice.
My, oh my, how those years go by. Friends, good friends, friends for life.
Programs, lyrics, and legends. I got to do this before you guys start talking off air. When my wife and I are riding the motorcycle, I've got the CD player going, and I put in Gary P. Nunn, and it's like, "Honey, this song is for you." And I play perfectly normal, and she's got a belly button ring, and which is not the opposite of my wife, but she just rolls her eyes, but she loves it because I'm thinking about her.
Yeah, so. And she is totally opposite of that song. But very cool, right. Very cool.
So perfectly normal is a good song. One of my favorites, but I'll put that in here real quick for my dear wife.
Yeah.
This goes out to
Teresa.
To Teresa, and perfectly normal, which we'll be back in just a few minutes, and she's going to kill me, but she loves me. We've been married 40 years, so I think she's going to hang around.
Yeah, there you go.
She's not going anywhere.
She got a belly button ring, another one on her toe. She got a tattoo hidden in a place where nobody knows. Well, I'm a little strange, people say that I'm slow. There's a lot of things I'll never understand, but there's one thing I know. We're perfectly normal. There ain't no doubt. After all these years, I think I finally got it figured out. We're perfectly normal. Got all the right stuff. We're normal, everybody else is just a little messed up. Now she
obsessive when she first met me. Always worried about her looks and her place in society. But now she don't worry about nothing. She gonna be okay. She still hears voices in her head. She just don't care what they say. We're perfectly normal. There ain't no doubt. After all these years, I think I finally got it figured out. We're perfectly normal. Got all the right stuff. We're normal, everybody else is just a little messed up. Surgery. He'd have to shave my head and do a frontal lobotomy. I told him, no, thank you, Doc. I got a better idea. I headed back to the bar and put a bottle in front of me. We're perfectly normal. There ain't no doubt. After two, three beers, we finally got it all figured out. We're perfectly normal. Got all the right stuff. We're normal, everybody else is just a little messed up. We're perfectly normal. There ain't no doubt. After all these years, I think I finally got it figured out. We're perfectly normal. Got all the right stuff. We're normal, everybody else is just a little. Normal, everybody else is just a little bit. Normal, everybody else is just a little messed up.
Program is Lyrics and Legends in the studio with me, Debbie Finster. Well, we just listened to Perfectly Normal, which it's one of my faves.
Well, you know, I think that you couldn't segue any better to, you know, your wife's going to kill you over dedicating that song to her. So there's a song on the list here called Couldn't Do Nothing Right. That's your theme song.
I may be changing theme songs.
Yeah, yeah. I bet she may dedicate this one back
probably
to you.
Probably so.
Couldn't Do Nothing Right. Tell us a little bit about that song, Gary P.
Well, I was just sitting. I lived in this place. I called it Public Domain Incorporated, my home for runaway fathers. because I was a bachelor there for many years. Then I got involved with this young woman. And, it starts out, the lamp is brought. I was just looking around, said, I'm going to write a song. I started looking around, seeing what was there. And the first line was, the lamp is broken on the mantle. And so it got me into this. I was having kind of a tumultuous relationship with this woman. We eventually married and had a son, and then she was into writing and wanting to be a performing artist. So, you know, she took off to Nashville to try her hand and make it in big time. And she actually did. Her name's Karen Brooks, and she was like Warner Brothers' top, you know, upcoming, you know, up and comer.
Yes.
At one point. So anyway, this song, we just wouldn't get along. You know, we couldn't agree on the time of day. And I'd say the sun's going down. She'd say, no, it's not. You know, things like that. So it just seemed like, you know, anything I could say, it just wasn't right. So,
I think this is Gary's new theme song. Couldn't Do Nothing Right. Let's
the only thing is, like, you know, we made it 40 years, so we're kind of.
Yeah, something's right. We're kind of old. Know.
I mean, yeah, for 30 something, it was probably. Now she's just like. Whatever. So we're going to listen to
Couldn't Do Nothing Right,
and going to be back in just a few minutes.
The lamp is broken on the mantel. My mind is blown and I'm fading away. It's getting more than I can handle. It's getting more than I can take. I couldn't stay here if I wanted. I couldn't stay here if I tried. You were always disappointed. I could never do nothing right. I work with my hands to make us a living. Make our good life dream come true. But you wanted more than I was giving. That was more than I could do. I couldn't stay here if I wanted. I couldn't stay here if I tried. You were always disappointed. I could never do nothing right. Cut my heart like the cards on the table. It's so easy for you to keep playing on. I'd let you win if I was able. All of the games have done been won. I couldn't stay here if I wanted. I couldn't stay here if I tried. You were always disappointed in me. I could never do nothing right. In your eyes, I could never do nothing right. Thank you.
program's Lyrics and Legends. In the studio with me, Deb Fincherwald, and on the phone, one of my heroes for the last few years. I don't want to give away any ages, but Gary Pinon on the phone.
How many years did you say?
many years.
Well, you know, counted up, you know, I said I was going to retire 2020. And I started in 1960, so that would be 60 years.
60 years.
Wow.
See, I didn't catch up to you till 72 or 3.
Yeah.
Probably, but.
But we got there as fast as we could.
We got there as fast as we could.
You know. So we've been talking about your whole experience from, you know, from when you were in a band, the Jerry Jeff Walker time, Michael Martin Murphy, what a huge influence he was, and all the directions you've gone, and being on your own. And, you know, we don't want to pass up the opportunity to talk about all the accolades that you've received over the years. I mean, you're like the bomb to everybody in Texas. And we know didn't you just receive
a lifetime achievement award?
Well, we did. You know, if that's the one, I was honored by the Texas legislature
in April.
The Senate,
yes,
and the governor. I got to go to all three, and they made speeches for me. And I can't tell you, you know, how humbling and of an experience that was to be there. I felt like, you know, Ray Charles in the Georgia legislature when they brought him in. It was just, and you know, I was getting standing ovations from the legislators, and you know, I met with the governor, and he. You know, they were just so kind and gracious and give me all kinds of praise that, you know, I'm so grateful to hear and proud and humbled, you know, to think that.
Well, very deserving.
You know, little kid from Oklahoma, you know, could make a name for myself in the state of Texas.
Well, we just want you to know that it's just a huge honor for us to get to visit with you, and everything that can be given to you award-wise, we feel like you're very deserving of it. We're very proud for you. But we want to talk about a little song here called Road Trip.
Yeah. Well, this is the song of my life out here, because I spent the life on the road. It started out, I was trapped in a slow traffic in Central Expressway in Dallas, Texas. I was riding with a friend of mine, and I looked over and I said, it's about time to get out of this traffic and go for a road trip. So we imagined ourselves, you know, going on a road trip down US 281 and ending up in Leukenbach, Texas, which is, you know, one of my favorite spots on the whole planet. And so it turned out very well. Larry Joe Taylor.
Have you performed at his big outdoor things that he does?
Oh yeah.
I figured
many times. I played at his very first one or two and three when he was first getting.
Yes.
He always tells when he introduces me, he said, you know, Gary Pinon got me started in this business. I don't know whether to hug him or hit him.
Hey, now, I heard you say something about, similar to that, about London Homesick Blues, that you weren't that crazy about that song, but you've really learned to like it since then. So.
Yeah, right. I didn't like it. Well, I didn't think much of it. You know,
yeah.
I didn't think of it. But how wrong we can be sometimes.
Yes, exactly. So let's listen to Road Trip. Larry Joe Taylor and Gary Pinon.
We're going to be back in just a few minutes. We're going to run out of time.
No.
We'll be back right after this.
Soaking up sun with the top down, getting brown. Ain't it good to be alive? We sing a chilly song as the party coming on. We're gonna put a rug till the cows come home. Looking like a looking back, good time Saturday night. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
we can let it all hang out. Oh, here we go, cruising down US 281. We'll be two-stepping, skinny dipping, soaking up sun with the top down, getting brown. Ain't it good to be alive? We'll sing a chilly song, there's a party coming on. We're gonna put her up till the cows come home, looking like a looking back, good time Saturday night. Soaking up sun with the top down, getting brown. Ain't it good to be alive? We'll sing a chilly song, there's a party coming on. We're gonna cut a rug till the cows come home, looking like a looking back, good time Saturday night. It'll looking like a looking back, bringing out a shiner back, looking like a looking back, good time Saturday night.
Program's Lyrics and Legends. Debbie, we got Gary P. Nunn, who's been gracious to spend the last hour or so with us on the phone. We're going to run out of time, so let's do this right now. This is our what we call our Department of Shameless Plugs. So
dun, 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 dun.
You can talk about that CD. You can talk about your book. You can talk about whatever else.
Well, you know, a lot of great things have happened for me here in the last couple of years. I wrote the book called Home with the Armadillo, and it's doing very well, and I'm getting really, really good response from it. And I should send one up to you guys.
Oh, that was going to be on my list to grovel for.
All right.
It's us shamelessly begging for things.
Shameless department of shamelessly begging.
All right. Well, I'll get your address, and I'll put one in the mail for you. And, you know, it'll cover a lot of the same territory that we cover today. And so, you know, that's doing very well, and it's helping me a great deal. You know, and of course, Chris Stapleton recorded Last Thing I Needed back in May, released it in May of 17. And, you know, I'm getting another run at it after Willie Nelson cut it.
Yes.
Huge hit, and it's become one of Willie's standards. And it's actually, Riz didn't start out, you know, he never did sing it on stage or promote it or anything, but it's just on its own. It's kind of risen to be one of the all-time Willie favorites.
It is. It's one of our favorites.
I think it's in our Christmas library.
Yeah. Well, he did a great job on it, and Chris did too. So many great things are happening for you. Our audiences are just, you know, we're selling out just about everything we do nowadays. And so
you're still out and about and touring, and people can still come see you live. And what about this 2020 thing? Are you really going to retire?
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to slow down from all this road tripping.
Okay.
I've got so much work that's left to be undone, so many songs in my publishing company, and many that I've written that I've never had a chance to record. Think about building me a studio and just going in and just, because that's what I really love to do. That's my favorite thing is to get in the studio and just try things, you know, and you find that you end up keeping almost everything you try. So all my records were just me trying to see if things would work, you know. And the time you spend the money, you know, you got to go with what you got. So I'm looking forward to, you know, writing more. Of course, you know, I want to spend time with my wife, my family. I've got three young grandsons that, you know, we live some miles apart. One of them lives in Nashville. One of them lives in Houston. And I just haven't had a chance to, you know, keep up with my family and do things that need to be done and keep those relationships alive and go around and see the people I love. We're all getting kind of up there in years. Let them know that I love them. And
that's awesome.
Sure, start our friendship. And just do things like normal people do, more or less.
We can probably squeeze one more song. What do you have next on your list?
Well, you know, we've talked about Gary P's past and the things that brought him to where he is now. And he's got a song called It's About to Get Western. He has a little duet with Cody Johnson. So, Gary P, would you tell us a little bit about that? And let's take us into the future a little bit, into the present.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to play that one because, first of all, Cody is just blown up and he's just on top of the world right now. And it hadn't been that many years ago, you know, when he was just one of these struggling singer-songwriters. So I had the idea to do a duet album with a lot of these young players. I did one. The album's called Friends for Life. And we had Robert Earl King and Lyle Lovett singing London Homesick Blues with
me. Man.
And Bruce Robinson, Wade Bowen, Roger Krieger, Dale Watson, Red Steigall.
Yes.
And Kevin Fowler did What I Like About Texas with me. But this song right here, it's just a good little old country cowboy song. I know people up there in your part of the country, there's a lot of cowboys up there. And Cody agreed to sing this with me, and he did a great job on it. I thought we did a good cut on it. So just to mention that new CD there, I thought I would, to list that cut there and give people a chance to hear.
We're going to have to squeeze It's About to Get Western in.
Okay,
here,
It's we'll About to Get Western.
It's About to Get Western. We'll be right back after this.
Old boys riding brim to brim from the ranch to the rodeo. Old Tommy done drawed him a wild one, a little bronc they call Smokey Joe. Smokey Joe ain't never been rode, and old Tommy ain't never been throwed. As he settled into the bucking chute, he said, boys, here comes the show. It's about to get western around here tonight. Better wear your working clothes and pull your hat down tight. It's about to get western, how mean it might. It's about to get western around here tonight. Well, Tommy's spending all his prize money later on buying drinks at the dance. He's got his eye on a rodeo queen, and he figures he'll take a chance. Some big bulldogger by the name of Earl said, Tommy, that's my girl. As he ducked a knuckle, old Tommy starts to chuckle, said, well, all right, let her whirl. It's about to get western around here tonight. You better wear your working clothes and pull your hat down tight. It's about to get western, I don't mean it might. It's about to get western around here tonight. Girl to the pickup truck. The cowgirl takes old Tommy by the hand, pulls him on the dance floor, hollers at the band. It's about to get western around here tonight. You better wear your working clothes and pull your hat down tight. It's about to get western, I don't mean it might. It's about to get western around here tonight. It's about to get western, cowboy's delight. It's about to get western around here tonight.
And the program's Lyrics and Legends. Debbie, this has been one of my favorites. But
well, this is right at the top of the list. Because
Gary P., none.
We have actually had the opportunity to visit with somebody that I know you hold in high esteem. I do as well.
Absolutely.
And just an absolute honor to get to visit with you, Gary P. And thank you so much for all that you've done for Texas country music and mine and Gary and Jim's 70s.
Oklahoma and Texas.
Childhood and all of those things. Truly, just want you to know what a privilege it's been to visit with you.
Well, I certainly appreciate having the opportunity to visit with you, and it's been a heck of a ride, and that I've enjoyed about 99% of. So much, my dear. It's been a privilege to,
hey, thank
to visit
you.
With you.
So we'll look forward to seeing you somewhere in the future soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Just keep being you, and keep writing those great songs and pushing those young artists, and we just love you and appreciate you, and God bless you.
Thank you. We'll be friends for life, okay?
All right. Sounds great. Bye-bye.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time here on Legends 92.9.